a weak solidarity bricky team is that when we saw women protecting the camp sovereignty sacred fire violently attack a gang of black-attired neo-Nazis. Just when we thought the giant minds and courageous men in black may have attacked them, but no. Their leader, Thomas Sewer, assured us they were simply protecting themselves, putting them in the category of the, "she hit my fist with her jaw, she kicked my boots with her ribs" category, and Tom's lovely little moustache, I just can't think who it reminds me of. Or to be grammatically correct, of whom it reminds me. Due to this bloody awful cold I've had, I missed Sunday's events, but watching footage and photos, it seemed the coppers were just as disgusted with the National Socialists, because they couldn't even bear to face them, facing the anti-fascists instead, replete with capsicum spray and the usual arsenal of paramilitary weaponry. Because we know the constabulary would have no time for neo-Nazism. Still, the giant and courageous minds in black would have been cheering by week's end as the socialists and the coalition got together to pack no proper papers, queue-jumping illegal boat people off to a small impoverished island, which will teach them for having the gall to flee poverty and persecution. The socialists and coalition running their usual dead heat in the who can be more cruel stakes. Better to spend a fortune to frank your heartless credentials than allow desperate people to enjoy the refuge they seek and contribute to the country they hoped might show them some compassion. Still, the brave fascist victims of those violent camp sovereignty women mightn't be 100% happy if some of those banished to Nauru are, wait for it, white. In the depends which side you're on department, the mainstream media and the caring business class, hayseed and sheepshit coalition parties are outraged that former state supremo Dan Anscrews the workers socialised with a bunch of autocrats, expressed delightfully and objectively as only the Lord Rupert of Wapping Sin can. Victorian Ukrainians disgusted as traitor Anscrews the workers joins tyrants, including warmonger Vladimir Putin at military parade in China. Then screaming P1, "Dictator Dan and the despots." And sure, they're a fine bunch. They seem to miss that delightful Belarus supremo who rigs elections and persecutes any opposition who was there in all his glory. But be that as it may, Dan mixing with wanted war criminal Vlad does seem to get a slightly different response than when Dan mixes with his very, very, very close friend and another wanted war criminal, Zion supremo Benjamin, not another Yahoo. That leads to the same lots praising Dan, turning the argument, taking the opportunity to rail against those who declare Benjamin a war criminal. And of course, the outrage to cry the unelected autocrats, knowing the path to great leaders is the democratic election process, throwing up inspiring examples like Donald Trample the Poor and our very own Anthony Albanese. On such matters, since there seems to be a bit of a difference in the coverage of, police being murdered and non-police being murdered by police and on deaths in custody. Not that they are murders, because no one is ever charged after an unbiased investigation into themselves by themselves. Meanwhile, our Minister for Being Offensive and Train Killing, Richard Moore's the bad guys, he of the giant mind, headed for the US of the UN of the US of the world, on the off chance he might run into someone who would talk to him, ready to return with his usual brown tongue, and what luck. The US Ops Secretary for Being Offensive and Train Killing announced they had had a happenstance meeting, meaning presumably he ran into Richard wandering around aimlessly and hopefully. Richard hoping someone might just line up a meeting between their big supremo Donald Trample the Poor and our very own Anthony. Alas, poor Richard, another failure. Donald offered the slaughtered, destructed, genocided, starved, non-land, non-people an offer they can't refuse. A few mirrors and beads and piss off and leave your real estate opportunity to real estate opportunists like Donald. In a treacherous lack of appreciation, the non-land, non-people, didn't seem all that impressed by the generosity. Ingrates. Already years behind in reaching our 2030 renewables target, or more correctly, spot on to reach our pollution target, as we approve more and more coal and coal and coal and gas and gas and gas to facilitate the transition from coal and gas, Energy Approval Minister Chris Bowen in the Capital has hit upon an inspired plan for our mid-30s target we're obliged to announce under the Paris Agreement, which in turn has proved such a roaring success in controlling pollution, addressing climate change, if there is such a thing. Adopt a flexible target, a range of possibilities in the knowledge there's no way we're going to get there anyway. Brilliance offset slightly by these interfering bloody climate scientists who think they know more than Chris and the responsible big polluters, who reckon Chris's moving target just maybe shouldn't rely quite as much on offsets, on, say, planting a tree at the back of Bali, allowing you to pollute to your heart's content. Science to the fore in Western Troubler, Aussie, where they've just approved a, quote, green iron project using potent greenhouse methane. Green. Well, the WA Environment Pollution Authority said, yes, because if the iron was processed in Asia, it would use coal. Perhaps they need to understand that the green in potent greenhouse gas doesn't make it green. But these long-haired commie greenie wooden work in an iron, pesky, annoying, anti-progress environmentalists can be so cruel. Take that Bob Brown. Big Supremo Anthony Albanese's hand-picked minister to do over the environment, Murray Swatch the environment's perfidious job, he raved, is to sacrifice the nation's natural heritage to satisfy the blinkered big end of town. Have we heard anything so cruel? Not only an insult to Murray, but to Anthony and to the responsible polluters. Blinkered big end of town? Come on, Bob. They know exactly what they're doing. On the environment, in the credit where credit's due department, top marks to rubbishy corporate lead away your money, which modestly tells us all it does for the environment, primarily the environment of its bottom line. It so cares that we recall a couple of years ago it was done for unsafe trucks, unsafe for its drivers, the workers it so cares about, and for the environment as they became a toxic waste redistribution service, leaking their contents as they went along. Oh, and done also for rigged scales at dumping sites, which, surprise, surprise, worked in its favour. Well, this week, more exciting news. Supremo Mark Schubert, real name, lost 30% of his bonus just because there had been 3 workplace deaths and a leap in serious injuries of those workers it so cares about. That's about $500,000 the poor man's lost, or roughly $160,000 per death, or even less if we add all the serious injuries, leaving Mark to battle on with a mere slightly less than $2 million as a bonus, of course, not his reasonable little salary. Only a touch, well, several hundred touches more than the workers who were killed and injured, but no doubt the caring clean away your board would have passed a resolution to send their condolences to the loved ones. Carried. Right, next item, bonuses. But the credit where credit's due bit. Clean away your knot only kills and injures workers, but for years the affected community has been fighting to have the Tullamarine toxic waste dump near the airport cleaned up. Little matters like toxic waste leaching into the waterways and finding their way into the bay, and toxic fumes emanating from the site with claims of high cancer incidence in the environs. But after years and years and years, clean away your keeps avoiding its responsibilities, earning responsible executives like Mark huge bonuses. See, credit where credit's due. It treats its workers it so cares about and the community it so cares about exactly the same. Notice the High Court threw out poor Ben Roberts, despite the innocent's attempt to appeal against being found a war criminal, a bully, a disgrace to the uniform in that defamation case we bet he wishes he'd never launched. All rights exhausted, Ben said. He accepted the decision. Well, we're not sure, Ben, if he had any other options. Although in his defence, that disgrace to the uniform bit, that's their job, to kill people. In that case, at least someone's rotting in a jail cell, the whistleblower who allowed the war crimes to be exposed. Unlike Robodebt, the government copping up an extra $550 million compensation this week, bringing the cost of the public purse thus far to $2.1 billion and a measurable damage, a measurable cost to the victims. Yet not one scummo minister nor public servant responsible for the disaster has faced justice. And wonder if a war criminal will ever be charged. In the week that was bad sport sport, as regular AFL revelations confirm homophobia is definitely not dead in the men's game, the Brain Dead of the Week award to those Adelaide fans Thursday night who booed Collingwood's Isaac Quayner all night. I wasn't aware till then that Quayner was the target of that homophobic slur that saw an Adelaide star suspended, and the crowd blamed the victim. In men's AFL, homophobia is far from dead. That was the week that was Bad Sport Sport Report. The Caring Employer of the Week Award. This is always a tough one. There's so many worthy contenders, but this week a romp for the AN0FU Bank, planning to sack or, sorry, sadly having to let go hundreds of staff. It's all about efficiency, apparently, and how did the staff find out they were for the chop? Accidentally. Someone pressed the wrong button, and an automated email told shock workers to hand in their company computers. We're sorry, the caring employer sorried. This is not how we intended this to go, and, it said, it doesn't show how we think of our people. Of course not. They really care. Why they were forced to provide dedicated psychologists for the somewhat shattered accidental recipients. Not how we treat our people. Don't they mean our ex-people? And finally, we'd have to think surely, sadly having to let them go is a somewhat bigger clue as to what they really think of them and how they treat them. There's got to be better ways to throw the workers you so care about onto the unemployed scrap heap, like not throwing them there at all. Good morning.